Timing was certainly a key factor in the takeover of Oregon's Malheur National Wildlife Refuge by armed militants. They made their move on the New Year's holiday weekend when the wildlife refuge offices were unoccupied. And the relative slowness of the news cycle at that time of year also ensured that the takeover would draw attention. And it did. Reporters from all over the country traveled to Harney County to cover the takeover, including our first guest today. Zoe Carpenter is the assistant Washington editor for The Nation, and she's been covering the action, or lack of action, I suppose you could say, too, in the area 30 miles away from Burns. Thanks for joining us today, Zoe.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Can we guess from this assignment that you might have some experience with anti-government groups in the past?
You know, I haven't covered anti-government groups on the ground. I have been following this controversy about public lands and the both the armed attempts and the legislative attempts to turn public lands over to state control. And I'm also an Oregon native from Tillamook County, so that's how I got interested in this particular standoff.
All right. So did anything make this situation a bit different from some of the other? I know we're using the word standoff, but as you have pointed out yourself, there's not really anything they're standing off against because nobody's facing them.
Yeah, I think a couple of things make it different. One is are the pledges of potential violence that were made at the beginning of the occupation of the wildlife refuge. So we heard some really extreme language from some of the men who are there. One posted what seemed to amount to a kind of martyrdom video to YouTube, seeming to say goodbye to his family and things like that. Others saying that they were willing to kill and be killed if necessary. So that level of extreme rhetoric was pretty exceptional at the beginning, although, as you mentioned, there is no actual standoff at this point. I think the other thing that's exceptional is most of those men are from out of state, and they've come to a community that really had no idea they were going to be occupying the building and is still wondering why they're there.
You know, much has been said about the lack of local support for the takeover itself. Is that the sense you get as well?
It was. I mean, I think what's really interesting about this story is that the lines of loyalty are very messy. A lot of people in town that I spoke to are pretty sympathetic to the argument that the government owns too much federal land in Harney County and that residents would like to have more local control over it. However, a lot of people don't agree with the tactics. They're not sure why it's outsiders who are taking this stand.
Now, did the Bundy brothers indicate that this was all planned or any sense of an impromptu sort of ad hoc decision at the last minute to do this?
I've heard very conflicting reports about that. Ammon Bundy, who is the leader of this group, has told reporters that he was planning this for months. However, Lavoie Finicum, who is an Arizona rancher who is one of the leaders of this group, also told me that when he was with Ryan Bundy, leading up to this occupation, and that even Ryan Bundy, Ammon's brother, had no idea this was going to happen. And certainly people who were in the demonstration on Saturday in Burns, a demonstration in support of the Hammond family, they had no idea that this was going to happen afterwards.
So the Hammonds, Dwight and Stephen, went to federal prison voluntarily on schedule on Monday, and yet it was 2 days before that these guys took over the offices of the wildlife refuge, right?
Yes, and there's some confusion about whether this is really about the Hammonds or not. Ammon Bundy has held up the Hammonds as an example of how the tyranny of the federal government has affected local people, and certainly there is a lot of local resentment about the impression of double jeopardy because the Hammond family, or the two Hammond, the father and son, have already served some prison time, Now that the Hammonds have turned themselves in, it seems like the Bundy occupation is really about something quite different, and it's really a kind of armed insurrection against the federal government more broadly.
So the double jeopardy thing, as you pointed out, is one of the things that seems to stick to a lot of people, the idea that they did serve some prison time for setting fires that spread to federal land, and then a judge said they hadn't served enough time and ordered them to serve the rest?
Yeah, basically, a mistake was made in their original sentencing in that the law that they were sentenced under carries a 5-year mandatory minimum, but the judge felt that was too harsh. So she gave them 3 months in one case and 1 year in the other, and so they served that time and then went back to ranching. And then the federal government basically challenged that original sentence, saying that it wasn't legal, and so they had to face a new sentencing and were given the longer term as required by the law.
How much ire is there about the fact that the charge or charges were in part under terrorism statutes?
There is some ire about that, and general confusion. Some people in town, the Hammond supporters, feel that they have been labeled as terrorists. No one from the prosecutorial team has used that word. It just so happens that the applicable law happens to have the word terrorism in the title.
Zoe Carpenter is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, assistant Washington editor at The Nation. We're talking about the takeover at the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge, 30 miles outside of Burns, Oregon. Yes, it's the Malheur Refuge. Yes, it's in Harney County, which gets a little confusing. You can join us on the Exchange. You can hang on for our Events Day segment. You'll get a chance to comment on this yourself. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Zoe, it sounds like Burns itself is a mixture of government workers and anti-government feelings.
Yes, and so that's another thing that makes the story so interesting is that although it's a conservative area and most people have no particular love for the federal government, many, many people do work for the government, BLM, Forest Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife. And so there is this sense of confusion and I guess being on edge about who to support. There have been reports that some federal employees have been followed and stalked by members of the militia and their supporters. And I also heard that some families of police officers fled town out of concerns from their safety. So there is a real sense that certain people in the town are more in danger than others, perhaps.
The Oregonian had run a couple of pieces about what was going on with the Hammonds before they turned themselves in to serve out the rest of their sentences, and the fact that there was a presence in town. But it also indicated that there was a fair amount of, or at least people putting up signs saying, "You're not welcome here. Go home."
Right, and we're seeing more of that now, more signs going up. And there will be a community meeting today, I believe, for residents to express their concerns. And how that impacts the actual occupation will be something to watch. Ryan Bundy gave comments to reporters on Monday evening saying that if the community didn't want them there, they would leave. However, he was quickly contradicted by his brother and others who say that they're not leaving until the actual land of the bird sanctuary is given back over to the county.
The meeting you mentioned is with the Harney County Sheriff. Is that for later today? Is that what I hear?
Correct, yes.
Okay. What signs of approach, if any, by law enforcement?
I didn't see any. It was pretty remarkable how few signs of law enforcement there were. However, the sheriff said yesterday that they are working on a solution. He didn't give any details. So I think it remains to be seen. I think everyone is anxious to avoid some kind of violent confrontation because I think they recognize that that's exactly what the militants would like. It would sort of prove their point that they're under attack from a tyrannical government.
We hearken back to Ruby Ridge and other and Waco and places where the government has gotten into standoff situations and they have not ended well.
Correct. Yeah.
Is it true that there is they've set up a command post, though, the law enforcement folks have at a school in Burns itself?
Yes, I had left town by the time they did that, so I didn't visit that command post, but I did hear that that was true.
What do you hear about the presence of guns? It seems like they were a bit more clear and obvious in the early days of this this takeover at the refuge office and less obvious as time went on.
Yes, I noticed a real shift in the tone that the occupants were giving off to media and other people who were there. It started as a pretty violent-sounding thing, right? They said they had maybe 100 people with them, that they were willing to die if necessary for their cause. And when I was there on Sunday, there were several men walking around and who had guns visible on them. But by Monday, when reports of a backlash growing in the town had started surfacing, I noticed a shift in tone to being trying to seem much less ominous, trying to reassure the community about why they were there, downplaying the prospect of a violent standoff with the government. And I think that was out of recognition that there was really a lot of fear in the community and that if they want to win the community over, they're going to have to seem a little less dangerous.
You mentioned that your prior experience is more with covering public lands issues. And as you look at what's being stated by the people who are involved with this takeover at the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge offices, is there a clear philosophy and intent here?
There is starting to emerge a more clear intent, which is to turn the land of the refuge back over to the people of the Carolina. Or when I say back over, it never really, you know, if we want to turn it back to the original people, you'd turn it over to the Native Americans, and that's not being discussed. But what ties us all together is this big debate about who owns public lands. And, you know, for the past several decades, there have been sort of flare-ups of this anger towards the federal government for how it manages public lands, forest lands, ranch lands. And, you know, people like Ken Ivory, who is a representative in Utah, have really been pushing for legislation that would get that would turn this public land over to state control. And effectively what that would do, if you look at the economics, is that it would either bankrupt the states because it's so expensive to manage, or they would be forced to sell it to whoever could buy it. And normally people, you know, the entities that have the money to buy that kind of land are corporations. So really it's a kind of land grab that would turn it over to logging companies, oil companies, things of that nature. And it's no surprise that this kind of legislation is being pushed by the American Legislative Exchange Council, a conservative group that is working on behalf of corporations.
There's something that Ammon Bundy said about speaking in terms of federal land seized from the states. I can't think of what the historical precedent for that would be.
Right. There's the occupiers at the sanctuary have very long, convoluted constitutional arguments about why the states actually control this land. But if you look back at the language when Oregon joined the United States of America, they actually ceded this land, and there is no legal precedent for turning this land over to the state control or to county control.
So you mentioned at the end of your piece in The Nation about the discussion that's really not going on here about the plight of rural areas, and has that continued to be obscured, do you think, over the course of this takeover?
It's starting to get some attention, but you know, it's a less sexy topic than the possibility of violence. But I think it's important to note that Ammon Bundy is really preying on real grievances in Harney County and in other rural counties across the West. It's hard times economically for places that are agriculturally dependent or dependent on extractive industries in some cases, such as timber. So I think that's something that really deserves attention is what should be done about the economic plight of these places. You know, 21% of Harney County residents are living in poverty. However, there is no indication that you could solve their problems by giving the bird sanctuary back to a few dozen ranch families.
Well, it's the argument that it is heard in Western Oregon, as I'm sure you're well aware, being from Tillamook, that you know, if we just let the states manage the forest land, there'll be more timber cutting and everything will be fine. But the fact is, it's a whole lot more complicated than that.
Yeah, you know, the economy has really shifted. Agriculture and timber industries and things like that don't have the same kind of power that they used to in the broader marketplace. The question is, how do you modernize the economies of these places while supporting the people who do still want a ranch and do still want a log? But, you know, the world has really changed, and just opening the lands up to environmental destruction, there's no clear sense that that would actually provide enough of an economic boost to solve anything.
It sort of eliminates, I'm noticing, any sense of what the market is for products that would come out of these places.
Right, exactly. They're just not, that kind of economic activity just isn't as profitable as it was back in the day.
I noticed that everybody's noticed, of course, that social media has been brutal about the takeover at the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge. Zoe, are they aware of what's being said about them out there?
You know, I'm sure that they are aware. I think they're not really interested in dwelling on the negative, right? So Ammon Bundy says that he has the support from the local community, and he's sort of downplayed criticism from locals and from, you know, the national media. So I think they're really trying to put a positive spin on this.
Mm-hmm. If you had to make a guess, do you think this will go on for quite a while longer? I mean, you got some people saying they want to stay there for years, and you got the other guys saying we'll leave when the community doesn't want us anymore.
I think it's really hard to say. I think it depends on what the police do. whether they do anything that could stoke a confrontation. I think it depends on what the county residents do. I think if there continues to be pressure from local residents for them to get out of there, it's going to be increasingly difficult for them to justify the occupation. And I think those internal divisions could also turn out to be very significant. You know, it's a small group of men. I saw perhaps 20 people would be my estimate from walking around the compound. And I think the sort of internal struggles could be as damaging to the occupation as any kind of law enforcement response.
Is it just men out there? Are there any women in this group?
There are a couple women. One woman named Shauna, who's up from Arizona, who's been a supporter of the Bundys. She actually wrote a book about Clive and Bundy. She's been doing a lot of speaking with the media.
Okay, Zoe Carpenter, the assistant Washington editor at The Nation, thank you so much for joining us today in the exchange with your perspective of what you saw out there.
My pleasure, thanks.
Right, good to have you. Let's slide directly into our Vents Day segment, then your chance to vent your spleen politely on topics in the news, and this is one that certainly a lot of people have been commenting on. So, the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge and Obama on guns are topics on Vents Day. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Let's start right off with Ann and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Yes, thank you. One of the things that the media has completely ignored, I've not heard one word about this, that the Malheur Wildlife Refuge is the main reason why tourists go to Harney County. In other words, turning that back into ranch land would not be an economically sound provision, because they would lose, Harney County would lose all the money that comes from all of us birders. I mean, that's the main reason I've ever gone to Harney County, and I've been there many times. So I think that the, you know, they're talking about the economics of the region. Well, Malheur Wildlife Refuge is a big positive for the economics of that region. Thank you.
Thank you for calling, Anne. Appreciate that. And that has not been discussed yet about what would these people do if they were to get the wildlife refuge back in private or at least local hands? Would they kick all the birds out, take out the ponds and turn it all into rangeland again? That has not been discussed about specific plans for the rangeland. This is now Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange, your chance to vent on the takeover at the refuge in eastern Oregon, and your chance to vent as well on President Obama's decision to take executive action on guns. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Just to recap, the whole world knows about the takeover at the wildlife refuge, which is within one of our states, and a world away all at once. The circumstances are clear. Two men from Harney County just left to serve out federal prison terms for lighting fires on public property. Those are the Hammonds. They had served some time, but a judge ordered them to serve the full sentence required by law. The protesters showed up in the Burns area in December, stayed through Christmas, and took over the buildings at the refuge on New Year's weekend when the buildings were empty. They call themselves patriots. Some critics call them terrorists. Now it's your turn to characterize the situation. Do they have a point about the federal control of so much land in our country? We're talking 3/4 of Harney County under federal control. If so, was there a better way available to them to make this point? And what should law enforcement at any level be doing or should have done by now to end this? 800-838-3760 on the phone, jx@jeffnet.org by email. Now to guns and the president's announcement of executive actions to address gun sales. The primary focus is an effort to identify people who sell guns at gun shows and therefore exploit the gun show loophole as gun dealers and require them to get a license to sell guns. The president also talks about tightening up enforcement of existing laws, in part by hiring more people to process background checks swiftly, invest $500 million in mental health care, and explore smart gun technology that would restrict who could fire the guns in question. The responses from the political realm were about what you'd expect. So let's hear yours. Was this a wise move in the absence of congressional action on guns, or a gesture that will go down in flames in the courts where it's likely to be taken? Vents Day this week is about Obama and guns and the refuge takeover in Oregon. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Nicole in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Oh, hello. I would like to comment on the takeover of public land by the ranchers.
Go ahead.
They have been spoiled for generations in using public land for their cattle and sheep and herds and destroying it literally, and only being charged a minimum for this, what I would say would be gift to them, and yet instead of appreciating it or paying what they owe, they want to take it over. So in there will be our earth is in such dire straits right now, and to have this allowed at this point when it's obvious to almost everyone who cares to look at the point that we've destroyed the very planet that keeps us alive, destroyed it for not only ourselves but every other living creature, that they could possibly, that this attitude could possibly be allowed to prevail. Thank you.
Thank you for your thoughts, Nicole. Appreciate that. Vent, stay on the Jefferson Exchange. We're taking your venting on the takeover at the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge in Eastern Oregon. And we're also taking your calls and comments by phone or email on President Obama and executive action on guns. 800-838-3760 over the phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. We did prime the pump a little bit yesterday with a survey that we invited people to take part in through Facebook. And we asked, what should we be doing to prevent future conflicts? Or are these conflicts inevitable? And Mike in Eugene says we need more conflicts, not fewer. But we, the people, he says, need to find common ground to address a federal government not meeting the needs of the many rather than the already well off. So this can get characterized, as Mike just did, as sort of a 1%, 99% sort of division here, in addition to just a who gets to use the land question. So lots to talk about here on Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We got a bunch of minutes ahead of us, a break coming up very soon. But let's get you in line on the phone, 800-838-3760 to call in to Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Other responses we got from our poll question, George in Ashland, his answer to what we should be doing to prevent future conflicts or if these are inevitable, says we should improve civics education and respond swiftly to idiots. What do you make, for example, about all the hashtags that have come out, the social media stuff, the yeehawists, for example, or the Talibundi and stuff like that? Let's get your thoughts. Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. We'll come back and take the rest of the calls and emails on the Jefferson Exchange in 1 minute. It's 8:36 on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We are already in the midst of our Vents Day segment, our Wednesday weekly chance for you to vent your spleen politely on topics on the news. And boy, do we have topics this week. We're talking about the takeover at the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge in Harney County, Oregon, about 30 miles from Burns, by armed militants who are demanding changes in the way federal land is managed and that it shouldn't even be federal land is their major point. The other topic is President Obama's announced executive action on guns, tightening up some regulations, identifying more people as gun dealers and requiring licenses of them. That's all on the table on this Vents Day. 800-838-3760 over the phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. To the calls, here is John in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Hi.
Hi.
Enjoyed the sheriff of Harney County's remarks the other day. I think he's probably quite uncomfortable in the position he's in. But he was saying that this group was in Harney County to overthrow the government of Harney County. And I like that. I mean, I appreciate that description. And I think this is just the beginning of a huge problem we have in this country, and a pale reflection of our failure as a government or as a country to hold people responsible for their crimes. And I'm thinking of the Bush administration, war of choice that they lied us into. Those people should all be in prison. Or the bankers that looted the country and are prepared to loot it again and are arguably still looting it.
Mm-hmm.
So why should these religious wackos? I understand that a lot of them are Jack Mormons or some religious sect. I think religion plays a role in this, and gun culture. Mm-hmm. Why should they obey the law? I think they should obey the law, but why should they if the people in control of this country are above the law?
All right, point being that people see that kind of behavior and think, why should I have to comply? Thanks for that. Very much good to hear from you, John in Eugene. Let us take another call here from Line 6. This is Mike in Eagle Point. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Good morning. I think one of the prime attractions of living in the West is access to public land. And as your guest pointed out, that one of the likely outcomes, if they turn it back to or they turn it over to local government, it gets sold off into private hands, and that means barbed wire fences and no trespassing signs and restricted access to the land rather than opening it up. And secondly, another point that your guest pointed out or touched on was that if anybody has a claim on that land, it's the Native Americans, and it seems to me, and I think there's even legal precedent, that if the government decides to access public land, they have first right of refusal.
Okay, thanks for that. Appreciate the perspective there, Mike. Let's go to Mark in Reading. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Morning.
Hi.
Yes, I have a lot of problems with the federal government, both in its domestic and foreign policies. But armed insurrection is, to me, beyond the pale. I don't see how these people should, be treated so lightly as they have been. I think that, they all deserve to be arrested, tried, and if convicted, thrown in prison. It just, to me, I don't understand how anybody can think that it's their right to grab stuff by force of arms, even if there was nobody there. That's what they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they're certainly breaking and entering at that bare minimum here, but having the guns on them, too, makes it more of a heightened security situation. Thanks for
From what I understand, it's even illegal to even point a weapon at a federal officer.
What do you think, then, about the fact that we're talking the Bundy family here of Nevada? This is Cliven Bundy's kids. Cliven Bundy himself is on the scene, but Ryan and Ammon Bundy are there. Do you think they were emboldened by being allowed to walk away from that confrontation with
Wouldn't
the BLM?
Wouldn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
I have no way of knowing.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't been in Harney County or Burns for years. Motel 6 hadn't yet been burned down by a couple morons making meth there when I was last in Burns.
I stayed at the same motel.
Pardon?
I think I stayed at the same motel on the way to move.
Yeah, it was pretty much the only place in town, I think. But I don't think they've ever even replaced it. But the lady that talked about birders, the French Glen Hotel has a sign at the entrance that says, "Welcome Birders." Steens Mountain is great fun. I mean, it's one of the three mountains I've ever climbed. You can drive to the 9,000-foot level, but you have to walk that last 735 feet yourself.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the thoughts, Mark. Appreciate that. This is Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Your chance to vent politely on the takeover at the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge in Oregon, what it means, what you think of the people who have done the takeover. Are they patriots? Are they terrorists? Is there some middle point at which you might identify them? The other topic is President Obama and guns and his announced executive action on that. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. A comment here from Bruce in Happy Camp. He says, "I don't know if anyone who really objects to background checks for buying guns, but what I'm concerned about is the negative attitude about guns understandably by people who live in cities, but that does not apply to those of us who live in rural communities like Josephine and Siskiyou counties, where we have no police protection for the majority of the time. Having a firearm for home protection with meth break-ins and violence is only sensible to us. The only way we have of protecting our families when 911 calls, do nothing at night here and most of the day. There's a disconnect between people who live in urban areas, and you shouldn't shoot guns in a city. They're dangerous to many people in a condensed area. That's why you have police patrols. But we have none. No protection. Zippo, writes Bruce. Nothing. No police. I don't think people who live in the city understand what it is like in rural areas. With cartels, meth and heroin labs, murders and theft, we need to have firearms in our homes. I want my neighbors to be armed as well. The criminals are. So says Bruce in Happy Camp. More calls then now on both the guns issue and the wildlife refuge takeover. Let's go to Al in Jackson County. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Good morning.
Hi.
I'm pointing in regards to BLM practices. And
okay, go ahead.
Excuse me?
Go ahead.
Ranchers that will get a grazing lease on property, many thousands of acres. They'll gate off a county road, and then they'll charge trespass fees in hunting season for people to come in and hunt. They're making a lot of money off of wildlife, and this has gone on, I can remember, back in the 60s when I ran into it. And local law enforcement usually knows them, and they back them up on it.
Hmm. So they're using the federal land as if it were their own.
And, yes, you know. And they're making a lot of money off of wildlife. In the area I'm in here, they actually feed the elk, and if they try and leave the property, they herd them back in by helicopter and charge fees from $1,000 and up to come in. And they shoot the cow elk all the way until March 31st, and they claim that that way they're getting two with one shot.
What kind of responses do you get from the federal land managers when you bring this to their attention?
I talked to Fish and Game, and they claim that, well, there's an excess of elk in the area. Except the elk are only in the areas where they want them, where they can make money off them. And the public has no access to them.
So what would you like to see change, Al?
To any county road should be kept open, and public access to public land should never be restricted. And people with grazing rights, I mean, that's it. They have the rights to the grass that they're buying. They don't have the hunting rights. They act like they own the property, and these leases go on for decades.
Okay. Thanks for the thoughts and the perspective on that, Al. Appreciate that. Let's go to Joseph and Murphy. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
Glad to be on the show. I'm a geologist, and I've worked probably 50% fee simple lands and 50% public lands at BLM, Forest Service, and state-owned lands. And I've had a chance to see the cultural differences with the people that use these lands. And in retrospect, when the states out west, many of them, through their enabling acts with the federal government, became states, a lot of that land was set aside for federal ownership. The states knew that going into it. It has been respected for a long time. In the 19th century and well into the 20th century, the argument was that really no one else wanted some of those lands. We call it flyover country. And there wasn't much objection to their use by ranchers, loggers, and miners. And the times have changed. Most of those lands were leased or minerals taken out or timber cut at really below market rates. And that shouldn't continue because the lands have really been exploited. The lands that have really been exploited, we talk about the Native Americans, and I've worked a lot on reservations in the Southwest where there is less federal control or state control on how the lands are used. In many cases, are overgrazed, and that's my argument that if it was turned over to private interests, sold off or disposed of, or excess, as BLM would say, they would be irreparably damaged. And I consider the public lands, after my experience in my occupation, to be one of the enduring legacies that we have for the American people. And I think they should be left in federal control.
Okay, federal control leading to a greater stewardship is the perspective you've come up with. Thanks for that, Joseph. Appreciate it. Let's go to David in Klamath Falls. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day. We're talking about the refuge takeover and Obama on
guns.
Hi
there. I guess I really feel like this is domestic terrorism, and it kind of bums me out to feel like these guys are getting special treatment. And in particular, I didn't realize that after the whole Nevada standoff, that nobody was held accountable. And I guess that's the thing I find to be the most troublesome.
The fact that the Bundys walked away from the Nevada standoff in 2014?
Yeah, you know, I heard about that whole thing as it transpired. Didn't really follow up on it. Just sort of assumed that anybody who's, you know, kind of standing off federal agents is going to somehow be held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded like nobody, it doesn't sound like anything was done with anyone in that situation.
No, and that has been pointed out as a potential source of the action here in Oregon, is that that nothing was done to them in Nevada. Okay.
Yeah, so I guess my biggest concern is just kind of the way the whole situation is being handled. It's as though, you know, somebody robbed a bank, said that they're Robin Hood, and got to walk free, and now they get to hang around and rob more banks.
All right. Thanks for the perspective there, David. Appreciate that. Good to hear from you. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We're venting this week on the refuge takeover and Obama's executive action on guns. We have a comment here from our survey online. Amy in Ashland said that she thinks conflicts are inevitable when you get terrorists who think they understand the Constitution when they have no clue. We also have a conflicts are inevitable from Jess in Ashland, and conflict is inevitable. Discussion and consideration are always useful from Claire in Ashland. And Kathy in Grants Pass as well says inevitable. So a bunch of different comments coming in there from our survey online. We have Boyd in Wolf Creek emailed. He says, in the early 1980s, southwestern Oregon residents resisted herbicide spray projects on BLM lands by occupying them peacefully. The strategy worked, raising visibility of the issue and through the courts halting such practices nationwide on federal lands. The current occupation benefits a few at the expense of the public good. They should take their case to court and Congress, so says Boyd in Wolf Creek. Let's go to, let's see, Dennis and Eugene waiting a while. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Hi. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Say, I started going over there to the refuge probably when I was 8 years old, so I've been going there a long time. And as far as what's going on there, I think that when the guns came into the situation, it becomes a criminal act. And the folks there that have those guns, they need to be arrested and, you know, face the music. As far as peaceful demonstration, if they would have went up there like college kids do and, you know, do whatever they do and get arrested and pay their penalty, and I'm all for that. I think that that's what our Constitution provides for. Now, as far as the Obama stuff, I think the problem that the president, and I like President Obama, I voted for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the problem we're going to have with gun legislation from now on is that it's reached its peak. Even the people that are for gun or against guns, if they're honest and look at the facts, have to see now that no amount of gun legislation other than complete confiscation is going to stop gun violence. Because people like me who own guns, we don't commit violent acts.
All right, so won't stop, but do you see the legislation can at least reduce? Do you think that's possible?
Actually, I don't think it's going to reduce anything.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my point. When I was a kid, there were no gun laws, and none of this happened. Now, we have more gun laws than you can shake a stick at, and every time we make one, we have more guns on the streets, more people carrying them, more people. I mean, it's ridiculous. In fact, yesterday when President Obama made his statement, gun sales went up, and so did the stock in buying gun manufacturer stock.
It does seem like every time the president says something about guns, the sales do go up, yes.
So it's time for folks to face the music and accept that we're a violent culture. Americans are violent people. We go all over the world killing people. The way we got our country was by killing the people that were here and taking it from them. And that's the way we are. We're nasty, mean, aggressive folks.
All right, and Dennis, we're going to leave it there. Thanks for the thoughts today. Always good to hear from you on Vents Day. Let's see. Val in Medford sent in an email about the refuge takeover. She says, I don't really have a problem with the guys occupying the federal building in eastern Oregon. It seems there's little danger to life or property. What concerns me more is the two gentlemen that were returned to prison. That's the Hammonds. They were sentenced and served their time. Now they've been returned to prison. Seems to me that is double jeopardy and against the Constitution. As to the president's new gun laws, I have to say I've never seen a gun kill anybody without a person attached to it. People commit these mass killings, but instead of thinking of them as criminals, we tend to think of them as being ill. I do believe with a fast trial and swift justice, these events might become more rare. That from Val in Medford. And Val, I referred to you as she. I hope I got that right. Let's go to, let's see, James in Springfield. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Good morning.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, it occurred to me regarding this situation in Burns. During the 50s and 60s, there was a science fiction writer who wrote a book called The Weapon Shops of Isher, and his name was A.E. Van Vogt. And the premise of the book was it was a time in the future when there was a very strong central government. They called it an empire. And there were these weapon shops, which were private organizations, and they had devised these weapons that were technologically fixed so that only the person who was given the weapon could use it. Mm-hmm. It would only work for the person who owned it.
Yeah, the basic
and
smart gun
they
idea.
They could only be used defensively, and the weapon shops decided who would get these weapons by finding people whose integrity and honesty were shown by actions they were trying to take in opposition to the empire. And I just thought that the concept was interesting. There's always been that line of idealism by people who feel that they're abused by the government or a central authority of some kind.
All right. Thanks for the thoughts, James. Appreciate that. A lot of comments here on this Vents Day. Obviously, a lot of stuff going on, so we're probably not going to have time to fit everybody. Joe in Talent wrote an email. What is going on in Eastern Oregon is a bright, shiny example of Tea Party white privilege. They gladly take money from the American taxpayer with one hand and slap us with the other. I think so much of this has gone on over the past few years, we're becoming numb by it all, which is what they're hoping for. But what chills me to the core, Joe writes, is how law enforcement is handling the situation, which is to do pretty much nothing. If the occupiers were of color or something other than white Christians, there would only be a smoking ruin of the entire complex by now, and Fox News would be lauding the bravery of the first responders. Instead, we're seeing in action what is wrong with this country and what eventually will be our undoing. It's the face of the base of the Republican Party spreading fear and threats to make this a better world, says Joe in Talent. John and Vanita, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Good morning, Jeff.
Hi.
This is a heck of a show you got today. Well, I really like Dennis, but my grandmother's Cherokee, and I've never killed anybody. I got real mixed feelings about what's going on over there, you know, in East Oregon. But one thing is for certain that really troubles me. I've watched our ability to access lands. The government just keeps reaching its hand in everybody's wallet. I mean, it's real simple. It might sound like nothing to a lot of folks, but even the other day, we just decided to drive up the top of Cape Perpetua and just to check and see how far you could get up there because of the fee thing. And, of course, we get up there, there's nothing but real shiny, newer cars. Well, you got a young couple with a couple kids that want to go over there. That $5 or whatever to leave their car there and be able to walk in there might be the difference between them being able to take their kids out and let them see this incredible thing, the highest point on the coast there.
So should it
and
be?
And it's like that everywhere. The hot springs, and it's just more and more, and it's the land of the slave and the home of the thief. And that's why we have the Second Amendment. Eventually, if they don't figure out how to be, and we don't figure out how to make our government accountable to us, we're all going to suffer a real big bump.
All right. Thanks for the thoughts, John. Appreciate that. Let's see. John in Ashland wrote in, the militants occupying the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge are nothing more than poorly educated racist criminals with an overinflated sense of entitlement. Law enforcement needs to utilize high-tech, non-lethal strategies to arrest them. The Bundy family needs to be prosecuted for their egregious failure to pay for grazing rights on public lands, that's in Nevada, so that more ranchers are not emboldened to violate the public trust for their self-interests. So says John in Ashland. A few more thoughts out of our survey about what we should be doing to prevent future such conflicts. Peter in Ashland wrote, better primary school education, equitable distribution of education funds so rural areas don't suffer. If these guys had better critical thinking skills, they could use their energy to more beneficial action, says Peter in Ashland. And the final thought off the survey from Tim in Ashland writes, delegitimize the militias. They have no one's interests in mind other than their own. This isn't a story of personal freedom or the boundaries of government. This is about armed men spitting in the face of democracy and stealing from the public trust. Attempts to frame their theft and abuse of our common property need to be treated as criminal acts. They should be arrested and tried for the crimes they have committed and none of their unreasonable, thuggish, and treasonous demands given into. So says Tim in Ashland. Well, not surprisingly, and we gave it about 10 extra minutes today, a really action-packed Vents Day as we talk about the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge and Obama on guns. We'll be talking again about both these issues, I'm confident.